guiltily. He must have seen the blank look on my face. It was a local custom for a husband and wife to exchange, in some fashion, actual neural material cultured from each other's brains. They used that thing, the wedding gun, to implant the stuff into each other. They don't do that anymore. Not since the plague, I think. He looked rueful. Actually, come to think of it, there are lots of things they don't do since the plague. When Quinnenbach had gone with his gains, back to ponder the next installment in his symphony cycle, I hoped, I crossed over to Vadim's network console. For the first time since departure, I had weight again, as the Stromnikov executed a thrust burn, minutely adjusting its fall towards the rust belt. From somewhere else I heard low, Saurian moans of structural protest, and couldn't help wondering if I'd picked the one voyage which would end with the ship's hull finally giving up the ghost. Presently, however, the groans and creaks subsided into the ship's normal sonic background, and I was able to concentrate on the matter at hand. The console looked ancient, like something children would have laughed at in a museum. There was a flat screen surrounded by controls embossed with finger-worn icons, above an alphanumeric keyboard. I didn't know what the state of the art around Yellowstone was, but this wasn't even it by Sky's Edge standards. It would have to do. I found the key which turned the console on, the screen stammering through a series of warm-up messages and adverts before displaying a complex tree of options, shipboard data services. Real-time networks, the web of data streams within a light second or so of the Stromnikov so that normal conversations were possible. Deep system networks, with typical time lags ranging from seconds to tens of hours, depending on the complexity of the inquiry. There was no explicit possibility to access networks with response times longer than that, which made sense. Any inquiry sent out to the system's Kuiper Belt habitats would have returned a reply long after the sender had left the slow boat at Journey's End. I entered the option for the deep system networks, waiting a few seconds while the screen busied itself with more advertising material. A tree of submenus appeared. News of arriving and departing starships, including an entry for the Orvieto. The Yellowstone system was still a busy interstellar hub, which also made a kind of sense. If the plague had struck in the last decade or so, many ships would have already been on their way here. It would take decades for news of the plague to spread out into the main volume of human-settled space. I skimmed through the options. The deep system networks carried comms traffic to and from the habitats in orbit around the system's gas giants, typically mining stations and outposts for the more reclusive factions. There were conjoiner nests, skyjack enclaves, and semi-automated military or experimental facilities. I searched in vain for any reference to the plague. Occasionally there was talk of containment procedures or crisis management, but for the most part it looked as if the plague, or its consequences, had become so fundamental an aspect of life that there was seldom any need to refer to the thing itself. The local networks told me a little more. Once or twice, at least, I found references to the crisis by name, and learned that they had given it a specific and chilling name, the Melding Plague. But most of the messages assumed total familiarity with the basic facts of the plague itself. There were references to hermetics, and the canopy, and the mulch, and sometimes to something called the game, but none of these terms were elaborated upon. I had heard of the canopy, though. That was where Amelia had said I'd stand a good chance of finding Ryvich. It was a district of Chasm City. But had she told me less than I had